When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her heart, in her body, that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John to the home of the synagogue ruler. Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in there where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kaum," which means little girl, "I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat.
We're continuing this morning with our series through the Gospel of Mark. When Pastor Henson started this series a few months ago, he promised that we would be talking about who Jesus is, what he came to do, and what is our response. We looked at several of the traits of Jesus, such as his grace, his love, and his compassion. We talked about his authority to teach, cast out demons, and to heal the sick. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about his authority over nature when he calmed the storm. And then last week, we talked about his authority over demons. Today we're going to look at the verses that Michelle just read to you and from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 21 through 43. And we're going to see how Jesus has authority over disease and death. Pray with me if you would. Dear Lord, we thank you that we know that you are Lord. You are Lord over all. You are an authority over everything, Lord, and we praise you. We thank you for being here with us this morning. Even though we're small in numbers, we know that you're here. We ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts, not only ours, but those of us who are watching by YouTube. We're praying that you touch each one of us, Lord. Speak to us. Work in us and through us. Use me this morning, I pray. And now, Lord, I pray that you would take the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, and may that be acceptable in your sight. You are my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I'm sure that we would all agree that two of the greatest obstacles to human happiness are the problems of sickness and death. Since the fall of man was recorded in Genesis chapter 3, there has been a curse on the earth, and that curse has caused mankind much pain and many tears. Imagine with me for a moment, if you will, what it would be like without any sickness or death. Imagine what it would be like to never have to worry again about COVID-19, cancer, or heart disease. What would it be like to not be concerned about the tornadoes, such as those that occurred a few weeks ago in Kentucky, Illinois, and Tennessee? I'm sure we would all agree that life would be significantly different. The Bible teaches us that sickness and death are a result of sin. God created the world good, but sin brought in sickness and death. God warned Adam that if he disobeyed, he would surely die. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So much sorrow and suffering occur every day in this world simply because of sickness and sin, sickness and death. So we have great news in our scripture this morning, where we learn that Jesus has power over sickness and death. As we learned in the early part of our study of the Gospel of Mark, one of the purposes of Jesus' mission was to show that he had authority over every area of life. And so in today's passage, Jesus shows his power over these two terrible results of the fall, sickness and death. Today's passage actually records two miracles of Jesus. The first miracle involves a ruler's daughter, and the second miracle involves a woman with a bleeding issue. The two miracles give us the opportunity to see different people's attitudes toward Jesus and his response to them. Through it all, we see the importance of faith in Christ and his ultimate power over sickness and death. Our text today tells two very different stories, yet they're intertwined as they overlap each other. First, we have Jairus, a well-respected synagogue leader who came to Jesus and falls at his feet. Here we have a leader in the community who is well off with servants and hired workers, and yet his privilege does not exempt him from pain, fear, and suffering. Despite all his wealth and good fortune, he is unable to help his baby girl. On this occasion, he's just like any other person who has gone to God and begged him to help their child. The crowds are pressed into and around Jesus as Jairus makes his way through the crowd and says to Jesus, "My little daughter is at death's door. Please come and save her." Without a word in response, Jesus follows him. All of a sudden, Jesus stops in his tracks and says, "Who touched me?" The disciples think this is a strange question for him to ask with such a throng of people around him. But this was no ordinary touch. because something happened with this touch. Power had gone from Jesus, and he knew it. Jesus refuses to go on as he seeks out the one whose need had caused them to reach out to him. And there she was. The woman comes forward and falls at Jesus' feet, just as Jairus had done. In the next few moments, we're going to look a little deeper at these two stories to see how they are connected to each other and how Jesus has authority to deal with both. In verses 21 to 24, Mark tells us about a desperate man that appears to be at his wit's end. The text begins with Jesus as he returns from Capernaum. You may recall last week, Jesus was in the country of the Gerasenes, where he had cast out a legion of demons from a man who had lived among the tombs. Verse 21 tells us that he had crossed over again in a boat, and he was still there by the lake. A large crowd was waiting for him, and they gathered around him as soon as he exited the boat. A man named Jairus came to him and fell at his feet. It is important to note that Jairus was indeed an elected official. He was a ruler of the local synagogue. No doubt Jairus, like many of the other synagogue rulers, had been pressured by the Pharisees to not support Jesus. This was therefore a daring and significant act for Jairus to show respect and worship for Jesus in spite of the intimidation of the Pharisees. He was doing so at the risk of inviting the scorn and rejection of the Pharisees. He was doing so at the risk of being rejected by other synagogue rulers. The fact that he came and fell at Jesus' feet reveals both that he had at least some faith in Jesus and that he was desperate. Luke 8:42 tells us that this was Jairus' only daughter and that she was 12 years old. Now, why do you suppose Jairus waited until the situation was so dire before coming to Jesus? Perhaps it was because of the reaction of the religious leaders a few days earlier that we talked about in Mark 3:22, when Jesus had been healing people and they accused him of casting out demons by the ruler of demons. Perhaps it was because it was his concern for his daughter and his personal knowledge that Jesus had healed others, that he was able to overcome his fear of the religious leaders. This can indeed be the greatest hindrance in people coming to Jesus. It is not so much an unbelief in him as it is fear of what others may think of us. So often we fail to acknowledge our need for him until we reach a point of desperation. Jairus did not come to Jesus until his situation was so desperate that Jesus became his last option. This is what happens to so many of us as believers. Yes, by faith we have found forgiveness because we know that Jesus paid for our sins. Yet, there are still those areas of our lives that we know are not right, and that there are things in this world that still entice us. We know that the Christian life only works when we are living according to Jesus' directions, but yet we're not desperate enough to seek him with all of our heart. Unless we fix our eyes firmly on him, we're going to sink in the storms of this life. How long, friends, will you hesitate to come to him and be serious about living for Christ instead of living for yourself? If you continue to wait, your soul may be saved, but you will not experience the joy that Christ has for you in this life. Will you bring your problems to him today? Or will you continue to wait until you have reached a point of desperation where Jesus is your only hope? You can either choose to come to him as often as you need him, or like Jairus, you can wait until the situation is desperate. It's your choice what you want to do. In Mark 5:24-29, Mark tells us about a desperate woman. In verse 24, Jesus leaves to go with Jairus to his home. The large crowd was following him and presses in on him. And as he was going with Jairus to his house to heal his daughter. Verses 25-29 records that while they were on the way, they were interrupted by a desperate woman. Jesus does not seem to be bothered at all by this interruption. Instead, he turns it into an opportunity to minister to the needs of his followers. He allowed this interruption so that Jairus and the others would learn more about him. Jesus would receive more glory, and their faith would grow stronger. Now we need to pause here for a moment and look at the profound nature of this entire event concerning this woman. We need to understand a little bit about the Jewish ceremonial law to understand the true nature of the suffering of this woman and what she had been enduring for the last 12 long years and why she had become so desperate. In the Old Testament, Leviticus 15-25, it reads, when a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time, other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her period, she will become unclean as long as she has the discharge, just as the days of her period. The verses before and following this one tells us that such a person is unclean and could not participate in public worship of God. Not only that, but anything or anyone she touched would also become unclean. This woman would remain unclean until 7 days after her blood flow had stopped. At this time, she was to give the appropriate sacrifice before she could be declared clean again. This meant that, basically, she could not go to the temple or to the synagogue. And because anyone who touched her or something she had touched would also be unclean, she was essentially shut off from most normal social activities. This woman had endured this for 12 brutal years. The woman, folks, was desperate to be cured. She had spent all her money on doctors trying to find relief, but no one could cure her. And in fact, she had gotten worse. And then she heard about Jesus. Her response shows that she believed it would be worth it, worth the effort, just to see if Jesus would heal her. The question was, how could she, an unclean woman, be able to approach Jesus to be healed? Her blood flow had made it difficult for her to even go outside in public. So how could she ever be able to approach Jesus? With this great crowd of people following Jesus as he was going home with Jairus, she found her opportunity as they walked past her. She reasoned that if Jesus had shown himself to be so powerful to heal others, then surely just touching the hem of his garment would be enough to heal her. And so Jesus, and no one else would know, he had been touched by an unclean woman. She came up behind him. When the same story is told in Luke chapter 8, it says in verse 44, she touched the edge of his cloak, which she was sure would be something that would not be noticeable at all. However, folks, I want to tell you this morning that you cannot sneak up on God. And when you do touch him, or is touched by him, like this woman, you receive more compassion and grace than you can imagine. Verse 29 of our text tells us, immediately her bleeding stopped. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. She was healed immediately, and she knew it. I just want to pause for a moment, just so that we can all think about how that must have felt after 12 years of suffering. All of a sudden, she was healed, and her body was made whole again. I want you to know this morning that Jesus will never look at a touch from you as an interruption. He will never scold you for coming to him. In fact, he would be so pleased that you had the faith to trust him and to bring your need to him. Every time you bring your needs to him, you are showing your faith in him and that you trust him, that he has power and the compassion to help you. Yes, the woman was healed. And Jesus could have left it at that. But he wanted to give her more. He still wanted to show her the full extent of his love and compassion. He wanted to give her peace, the peace of knowing that he was happy to heal her. She did not have to live her life thinking that she had stolen this blessing. Jesus poured out his grace on her like a big hug. Not only did he heal her, but he also gave her peace. And one more reason Jesus made her known was so that she would be an example to others. Her faith was an example to all those around them, and it's an example for us today as well. Jesus' reaction to being touched causes the woman to reveal herself and confesses what she had done. She was fearful because she knew that what she had done was selfish and putting others in danger of becoming unclean without them even knowing what had happened. But she was desperate. She fell down before Jesus and told her story, including how she immediately healed when she was touched, when she touched the hem of his garment. Jesus' response to her was far beyond anything she could have ever imagined or anticipated. She thought that she would surely be condemned, but instead, he extended even more grace and compassion. When I was growing up, one of the least traits that my father exhibited was affection. He was from a generation where real men did not show affection. Yet, there were times when I would feel so loved because instead of calling me by my name or calling me boy, he would call me son. And all of my connections with my dad during my growing up years, it was these few times that I treasured the most. Notice that when Jesus talks to the woman, he shows an affectionate concern for her by using a term of endearment. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." He goes on to confirm that her faith in him was the source of her being delivered, and she was healed of her affliction. So she could go in peace. This is the same compassion and grace that Jesus shows to those of us that seek him out. This woman was desperate, and she found in Jesus the complete solution to her problem. Jesus didn't just talk about his authority. He actually demonstrated it. He was still talking to the woman when people arrived from Jairus' house to tell him that his daughter was dead. So there was no need to continue troubling Jesus. I can only imagine what Jairus must have felt at this time. I can only imagine that he must have felt completely crushed. His daughter was dead, and now it was too late. But folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that with Jesus, it's never too late. Jesus overheard the people and said to Jairus in verse 36, "Don't be afraid." Don't be afraid this morning, folks. Just believe, and she will be healed. Jesus gives hope where there is no hope. Death is final, except when Jesus becomes involved. The first thing that Jesus does after the interaction, this interaction, is to reduce the size of the crowd. Only the inner circle among the disciples, Peter, James, and John, was allowed to accompany him to to the house of Jairus. The others in the crowd followed at a distance. When Jesus, Jairus, and the others arrived at the home, there was a bit of chaos going on. People were loudly weeping and wailing. This was pretty common in that culture after the death of a loved one. Jesus quickly put things back in order by saying to them, "The child is not dead, but asleep." Then he told them to stop the commotion. After this, Jesus went in to where the child was. And he took the child's parents and the disciples that were with him. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl got up and began to walk. The people were astonished because many of them had seen her dead and many others had heard about it. Yet here she was now, alive and walking around. Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone and to give the girl something to eat. Jesus demonstrated his authority over death by raising the girl up. However, we know that she would eventually get sick again and would die, just as Lazarus and many others that had been raised from the dead had done. But then Jesus would reveal his absolute authority over death by going to the cross, rising again, and remaining alive forever. He was crucified and died as a payment for our sin on Friday. He was buried, placed in a sealed tomb, and then guards were positioned around the tomb to ensure that the body was not stolen. But on Sunday morning, he rose from the dead. The angels rolled the stone away, and Jesus walked out alive. Over the course of the next 40 days, over 500 people saw the resurrected Jesus. So Jesus conquered death. And folks, he remains alive today. He has provided a means for us to also conquer death through him. He says in John 14:19, "Because I live, you shall live also." If that is your hope, you should rejoice with me today. If that is not your hope, then repent and believe and make it your hope. Today, we have seen two beautiful examples of faith. These two miracles are intertwined, and together they show us Jesus' power over sickness and death. When the sick woman and Jairus were helpless and hopeless, Jesus was the answer. The woman came to Jesus and he brought healing and peace. Jairus put his trust in Jesus and Jesus brought life where there was death. In the kingdom of God, suffering ends, hearts are mended, and new life takes the place of death. Do you have faith as these two people had? Do you trust that Jesus' way is always the right way? When you are faced with a very difficult problem, will you bring it to him? And will you walk with him wherever he asks you to go? Do you trust God's timing? It's perfect, even though there may be times that he allows delays so that you can learn more about him. In those times, he will receive more glory, and your faith will grow stronger. Folks, put your faith and trust in him today. Heavenly Father, we are all desperate, every one of us. Some of us are desperate, dear Lord, because we've lost loved ones. Some of us are desperate because there are those around us, loved ones, close friends, that are sick and suffering. Dear Lord, some of us are desperate because we don't know where to turn other than to you. Heavenly Father, but we know that you are the answer, so we're looking to you this morning to meet us in our desperation, heal us where we hurt, make us whole again. We know that if we can touch the hem of your garment, we will be made whole. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.